sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 116, Rap Politics and Voodoo. I was sitting by the river with my warrior's gun. A bunch of cave boys try to house my drum. I never bust a sweat because it's not all that tragic. Voodoo, running from my magic. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzard, a.k.a. B-Dot Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa Beat. Ding, 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 ding. Before I continue with the show, I want to welcome all you new listeners, especially those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake. But I got to warn you, this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Hoosier Blues up in this bitch. Maybe I should just say, yo, this episode, this podcast is rated black. How black? Black, blacker than black. So black that whitey gets a heart attack. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is October 8th, 2023. It's a Sabbath day, and it's kind of late, man. You know, I should record these podcasts earlier, but whatever. It's 8:07 p.m., and it's a little chilly out there. This episode is also being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. And last but not least, this episode is brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Wrecking Loom as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Did I mention this podcast is rated black? All right, just to get us situated, again, welcome you new listeners, and welcome back returning listeners. But for you new listeners, just to help you get situated, I break down these podcasts into three parts, acts, if you will. First act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. Second act is called Use at Random Thoughts. And last one is Final Thoughts. Introduction, I like to do shit like, in this case, read off some quotes or ideas. And this one here, it hit me. It hit me. Well, okay, and it just goes, simply said, saying how you feel will never ruin a real connection. Yeah, links will be in the show notes for this one, but I found that one powerful. Second one goes. I may have read this before, but well, if you're a new listener, this will be new to you. But it just hit me again, and it goes: you have to decide who you are and force the world to deal with you. Not its impression of you. And just reminded me of, I guess you're constantly telling the world, allow me to reintroduce yourself. Powerful. Oh, James Baldwin is the author of that quote. And yeah, hope it hits you in the feels, man. Hope that hits you in the feels. All right, okay. And this concludes. Before I continue, I just want to warn you, I did mention this October 8th. and Palestine and Israel is trending on Twitter. No, I will not have any commentaries on the conflict. Just not smart enough to talk about it. But just know, I'm on that Free Palestine shit. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm going with the side that has the least guns. And I don't care, like, all the mean things they might be saying. All I know is they got the, you know, they got the least guns and they're getting fucked with. So how do you want me to look at this conflict? Anyways. Oh, my God. All right. Okay, let's jump to the next act, next segment. So hold on, kids. It's not going to be a bumpy ride. All right, okay. All right. Okay. What's up? All right. I think I'm trying to quote some 50 Cent, but it's not. Did I mention it's 8 p.m. and I'm feeling a little mellow? Mellow? I don't know. Maybe I this whole leaving podcasting to the end of the day as the last thing is not such a great idea, especially on a Sunday. I mean, Sunday before a long weekend is okay, but yeah. Plus, I get, yeah, anyways, yeah. Here's hoping my voice cooperates with me. Okay, first item on the rundown sheet. It's a poem, spoken word, by, okay, I got this off TikTok, and the content creator who shared this is Pure Poetry Live, and the poet's name is Rebecca Dupas. I don't know how you English say it, but in French, that's Dupas. And she's got a thought about being single that I really related to, and it goes something like this.
Being single does not frustrate me. Mm-hmm. It's being interrupted only to be disappointed that becomes infuriating. Right. Do not stop by my peaceful life with ill intent because you have trouble in your relationship.
Right on.
Because you are bored and you need some temporary companionship. Look, whatever it is, I will not be your heart's equalizer. Mm. The one that you call when things with who you really want to be with are off kilter. You cannot use me like a filter to make your days look better.
Come on.
I deserve better. Yeah. Then you hiding behind those vague invitations. I guess you just want to say that whatever happens between us is something that I initiated. Mm-hmm. But I see you in the faces of many men who open DMs and slide in wanting nothing concrete, just access to me, the chance to experience my peace without granting me the same. I'm more annoyed with your sporadic good mornings and your sweet nothings than if you would just leave me the fuck alone. There is peace and purpose in my home. There are people who love me hitting my phone. I don't need your scrap.
Message!
Well, that was it. They cut it off short, but links will be in the show notes, and so many angles to approach this, but one is I agree with it. I remember reading this post in Ottawa. Some lady in Ottawa was saying, "Where are all the single men over 30 or some shit like that?" And what did I? Oh, I think I said working on themselves. But the other thing too is, I've reached an age, and a lot of us reach this age where you're in a relationship with being single. Yeah, I felt, you know, that's an aspect. Anyway, you're in a relationship with being single. And in my experience, a lot of people don't have what it takes to make someone else's life. No, okay, you know, because it's not your responsibility to. Basically, don't have what it takes to compete against someone's single life. Meaning, sometimes I think it's, and I've been guilty of that too, but or I never looked at it this way, but sometimes I think it's very arrogant or very cocky for a human being to approach you and have this belief that, hey, us coming together, me and your life will be better than you being single. I think my point is, what this had me thinking is when I used to date and I had so much a hard time on writing my dating profile, and I'm having this thought, I'm like, what am I writing this? Am I supposed to write this dating profile the same way? No, I was writing my dating profile the same way I was writing my resume. It's like I was trying to make myself attractive to a whole bunch of people, right? And in terms of relationship goal, I was just trying to get laid. This was when I was on the dating profile. I remember, yeah, I was just trying to get, like, I remember looking at the selection. It was usually three. It was usually serious relationship, casual relationship, and I forgot what the third one, or was the third one casual relationship, or in between. And I remember starting out with casual relationship because I didn't want anything serious, but wasn't getting any response. But when I put in serious relationship, I got a lot of response. Here's my point. My point is, what that woman was saying about being single is so true. I was not trying to improve someone's life. I wasn't trying to be an asset to someone's life. I was just trying to get laid. I wasn't trying to be a partner. I wasn't trying to... Look, life is short. And if you happen to make... Life could be, you know, I think a few episodes talking about how life's a bitch. But if you could find someone that can make this journey called life more enjoyable or even more enjoyable, I mean, that you could share your life together and you just enjoy it even more, I mean, good for you. But I wasn't taught all that shit. Okay, I'm not just going to beat up on myself. I wasn't taught a lot about being a good partner or being a partner to someone else. And I don't just mean like, hey, I'll pay your rent, I'll buy your car. That's a Babyface song. I'll do everything before you come home. I'm not talking about being that guy that your girlfriend can show off to her friends. I'm talking about being with someone and you genuinely enjoy each other's company. You're there for each other, like you're partners. It's like you fuck the world. You're not with them because you're trying to piss off your friends. You're with them because they're the best of your friends. This is me, like, understanding a relationship. Anyway, let me get back to myself. Let me get back to what she was saying. But I find, for the most part, a lot of people on these dating profiles, it's all about ego. It's more about ego than companionship. I guess I'm including myself in there. It was more about ego than it was about a genuine companionship. Which is why I'm saying, yo, everyone should take the time to be single, enjoy being single, embrace being single. Fuck the world, fuck everyone who thinks that, oh, you're single so you're miserable. Nah, man, take the time to get to know yourself. Take the time to... Look at me preaching, eh? I got a lot of fucking nerves. Okay. This is me preaching what I practice. Ain't nothing wrong with being single. I think a lot of people would benefit just being single. I'm not saying go divorce yourself. You're already in a relationship. Go divorce yourself. Go get a divorce. I'm saying if you're one of those people who are single, cut that I need a partner to make my life complete. Shit. Now, it's funny that I could preach that because I had to go to therapy to actually understand that. And, yeah. Anyways, first segment, I'm already talking a lot. But anyway, I'm just... Be single, man. Enjoy being... If you're single, enjoy being single. Enjoy the fucking ride. Enjoy the ride until... No, enjoy the ride. And don't compromise. See how good you got it. And don't trade that shit for nothing better. There we go. All right. So shout out to Squatronko, Rebecca Zupa. Links will be in the show notes. Okay. Next item. Oh, this is my favorite one. I remember seeing it in the morning, saving it, and I don't know what I want to say, but I know I want to say something about it. And I got this from Reddit's ex-Christian subreddit. And actually, it's a post by Mike Patterson. Oh, he goes, not my list, but thought this was a good one. And it goes, five things Jesus did not say. And I guess I should add that this is part of my church ratchetness segment of the podcast. Now, those of you who are fans of the black guy who tips, you're probably telling yourself, hey, you just stole from them. It's like, no, my friend. No. They got sword righteousness. I got church righteousness. And they're McDonald's. I'm McDowell. Yeah, church righteousness is just a segment just by way of saying that I talk shit about church. Talk shit about Christianity. Really, it's more talk shit. It's more like let out some anger. Some deep-rooted anger. Regards to Christianity. And this particular one is five things Jesus does not say, and I connect it to this list. And it goes, one, follow your heart. Jesus never said that. You know what he did say? Jesus said, follow me. Two, be true to yourself. Jesus did not say that. But you know what he did say? Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself. I remember that shit and practicing that bullshit. Three, believe in yourself. Jesus did not say that. What he did say is, believe in me, nigga. And he didn't say nigga, he may have said nigga, who knows. I don't know how you say a nigga in Aramaic, but who knows, whatever. But it's just as offensive, just as insulting, just as annoying. Four, live your truth. Jesus never said that shit. You know what he did say? I am the truth. Five, as long as you are happy. Jesus never said that shit. He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? I've been so conflicted with that one. Okay, wait. Jeremiah 17:9. May God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Oh, that's Romans 15:3. Okay, wait. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay, now I'm curious. Okay, on the same list is Jeremiah 17:9. Don't know what that's about. Jeremiah. What is it again? 17:9. Guys, I'm just curious. I just kind of looked this up. The heart is deceitful above all things, is desperately wicked. Yeah, okay, who can know it? Okay, all right, where I'm going with this is, this reminds me of, that list is like, I want to say it's like one of the reasons, it was the final nail in the coffin, that's not true. But I do remember being conflicted or misunderstood. I do remember when I started to understand concepts like self-esteem, having a high idea of yourself, how it's okay to be so, it's okay to be kind to yourself. It's okay to say, to tell people to go fuck themselves so you can take care of yourself. Where I was starting to learn shit, like you can't actually consider yourself a kind person if you're not kind to yourself. Like the self. See, I grew up with this notion of denying self. And that was, in my understanding, part of being a good Christian. The person in America, go fuck themselves. You live for Jesus, right? It's better for you to believe in a virgin birth and a white boy living in Palestine, being for a white boy from Nazareth, I don't know, whatever, man, than it is to believe in your own self. You know what I mean? But I do remember my first one. I like the first one. He goes, follow your heart, Jesus, follow me. I do remember getting to a point, I guess I was clearing some of the cobwebs about Christianity, because I remember having the thought about, I'm starting to believe there's a difference between following Jesus and following his followers. Yeah, man. I guess I went to church with a lot of like narcissists, and they believe they were Jesus. Or at least their interpretation of the Bible, of Jesus, was as close to possible to what Jesus would have said. Like, they're convinced that Jesus comes down, they're going to be the first person Jesus shakes hands with. Good job, man. Oh, that homophobia, perfect, man. Oh, my God. What you've been saying about those trans people, perfect. Couldn't have said it any better. All right, let's go to heaven. Well, first, let me go send some of these people to hell. Some of your... I don't know. It's wild, man. I grew up with this beautiful image of Jesus. Then I had it challenged. Then I was surrounded by people with their interpretation of Jesus, and I was like, what the fuck? Are we reading the same book? And then later, you know, I think what ended up happening is I let go. I said, fuck it. I'm not debating anyone about Jesus, who the fuck he is, who and what he is, whatever. And I just grew up to, you guys can have it. You can deal it. You know, talk that Jesus. Yeah, this whole idea of having a relationship with this fictional character embraced by my colonizer, just didn't do it for me. And this list is, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm reading this list, and it's making me see Jesus for what he ended up really being. A tool used by the oppressors, used by the abusers. It's, yeah, shit breaks my heart, man. Shit breaks my heart. Yes, I used to. But then again, I think about, I mentioned this on a previous podcast, on a previous episode, about how part of what made Jesus powerful is, as a child, is he felt like that one white, again, I grew up with white people, surrounded by white people, and these teachers had, I don't know, they had me believe like he's the one white man who gave a fuck. Like he was like, I didn't know about John Brown, but he was like as close to John Brown as possible. He was the one jumping in and saying, hey, stop calling these niggers, right? They're my niggers. Like he was, as a child, he was like, I was taking all my pain going through racism, and he was the answer to, he was the, sorry, my child. Yeah. You could cry on me. But I'm not going to do shit about these racists. Fuck that. Except keep blessing them. I'm going to keep blessing them with richness and shit like that. But you, I'm going to give you pity. And that's all I wanted. That's all I, to me, that's what made him such a friend, so to speak. Because he was the one white boy. You know what he was? He was a white savior. That's exactly what he was. Watch another movie based on racism, like the white savior movie. That's what Jesus was. That's how he was explained to me. Like, he's your only hope, black people. Anyway, right, okay. You know, enough about my grief about Jesus. But that five list was dope. Just had me thinking about, yeah, how much I don't like the character. All that, yeah, and then I'm going to go to hell because I won't stop touching myself? Go fuck yourself. I don't like that deal, man. I really don't like that deal. All right, okay. Next, I just discovered, is this a long one? Okay, this is a longer one, is toxic positivity. All right, I'm just going to read the list and let you do all the, again, link will be in the show notes. Here it goes. Toxic positivity. Instead of good vibes only, try this. All human emotions are welcome here. You know what? Learned that in therapy. All right. Instead of failure is not an option. Failure is not. Success by only. So I was trying to recite some Eminem. Yeah. Failure is not an option. Instead of that shit, try this. Failure could be a great learning lesson. You know, in comedy, that's true. Oh, my God. Okay. Maybe I'm maturing for this shit. But in comedy, we learn. Ideally, you want to go on stage and have a great set. But we forget that even the bad set allows us to improve to a better set. It's like bombing sucks. But sometimes it's those moments you need to, like, well-craft, to, like, improve what you're. If you keep going, having good, you know, having sets and they're always great, you never improve. You know, I guess, yeah, this is what I'm getting. Okay, now I'm realized. I see what I'm getting at. Is I would go on stage and I would dread bombing or having a bad set. Like, you should see me before the show. I'm like, heart attack. And ready to have a heart attack. They would have a good set. I'd be like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Or thank you, Black Jesus. As opposed to just embrace the future. Oh, shit. I used to have this little prayer I used to say before going on stage, and I stole it from, what's his name again? Ug Mandino. He goes, in success, keep me humble. In failure, preserve my faith. Yes, it was my way of embracing the future. Whatever happens, make sure I handle, may I handle it the way I need to handle it, in a constructive way. All right, okay, keep going. Failure's not an option. Failure is a great learning lesson. Instead of hustle 24/7, try this, stay balanced. Instead of, but look at the bright side, hey, go suck my dick, try this, that sounds really frustrating, I hear you. Instead of, while you sleep, I grind, yeah, not me, try this, I need my sleep to function, yeah, I also need to get high. All right, instead of, you'll get over it, try this, I understand how you feel, right on. Yes. You know what you get over it is? It's equivalent to, oh, thoughts and prayers. Basically, it's your way of saying, hey, that story you just told me is making me feel shitty. So I'm going to give you some false positive, some toxic positivity. It's my way of saying, yo, keep that shit to yourself. When you really want the other person to say, no, I know what you're saying. I know what you feel. I understand what you feel. Instead of, other people have it worse. try this. My feelings about this are valid. Instead of, it's fine, it doesn't really bother me, try this. It's okay to feel bad about stuff sometimes.
Oh my God.
All right, okay. Ooh, I'm just trying to relax my abs. You guys should see how I'm sitting right now. Hopefully you can't hear it. Yeah, I need to get a new mic stand. Okay. All right. Last. Toxic positivity is the idea that you should maintain a positive mindset and good vibes no matter how hard the situation is that you are going through. This is what's talking to me. Not every shitty circumstances needs a positive silver lining. Some people just need to feel heard, supported, and understood while they're going through something difficult. Oh my God. I love how I went from talking shit about Jesus to this. Because in a way, I'm pretty much complaining about the stuff I used to do wrong. I used to be on that toxic positivity thing shit. Especially when I was like more religious. And realizing that, yeah, man, I was shooting myself in the fucking foot with that shit. Anyways, yeah, man. Shout out to Let's Talk Mental Health. On, you know what? I'm going to follow them. There we go. There's a lot of mental health shit on online, ain't they? All right. Okay. Where am I? Okay. Go for my notes. Go for my notes. Toxic positivity. Oh, right. Okay. Yesterday, I'm going to make this a thing, but I just finished listening to J.L. Covan's, comedian, Rain on Your Parade podcast. He used to have one called Righteous Prick. Now he's got Rain on Your Parade. And I guess he hired himself a producer. And whatever, man. Those two work well together, man. It's, but that's not the point. Episode 7, Men in Crisis, was a deep. I really enjoyed that episode. I actually tweeted him directly, said, hey, enjoyed it. And thought your message about Men in Crisis was deep. And I kind of wish. See, here's the problem when I listen to podcasts by J.L. Covan and other podcasts is that then I start thinking about, I wish I could do this. See, he articulated a thought about men in crisis, about this whole thing that, oh, men are in crisis. And it was pretty much, you know, it's like, oh, all these women are doing well and men aren't motivated. Men just masturbate, just play video games. Wouldn't make it on Normandy. Today's men ain't shit, whatever, right? And you know what? He explained it better. But the part that hit me the most is how he's fighting with the question, with a question I've been fighting with is, what if my best days have passed me? Now, every man's got to, at some point, you're going to find yourself asking that question, especially if you get older. What if my best days have passed me? You know what? This is for the first time I feel a bit timid sharing a thought with you on this podcast, because it's something I'm struggling with in therapy. And it's not just that. It's not just Like, it's more complicated than that. It's not just the notion of, okay, your best days are gone. You know what that means? You don't have to try anymore. Fuck trying. Just give up. Wait for yourself to die. There's something comforting about that. There's a part of me that doesn't want to fight anymore. It's like, fuck it, man. I'm tired of losing. I feel like every fight just equals to a loss. Like, I'm that somber of a mindset that I'm going through. I'm not telling you to practice the same thing, but what I am telling you that I understand if you find yourself, if you're young, if people are calling you young, I understand if you find yourself saying, my best days are gone. Because there's something convenient about it, not fighting. I mean, I guess that might make me a bitch. Oh, he doesn't want to fight anymore. I mean, you know, call me all the names you want. It's not going to change the fact that it's something that I need to deal. Look, I guess I'm speaking to all the men out there who answer that question and say, my best days are gone. While considering the possibility that you might be wrong. I'm not saying that is the case. I'm saying consider the possibility that you might be wrong. No, I'm not even going to tell you that. I'm telling myself that. That's the fight in therapy. The possibility of being wrong. Anyways, until I could sort that out, I've been living my life like a man whose best days are gone. And it's just like constantly just telling himself, looking at the world saying, or looking at the universe saying, get it over with. Kind of feel like that last scene where, spoiler alert, in The Wire, where Stringer is face-to-face with Omar and Brother Muzon, and he realized that all the money in the world ain't going to save him out of this situation. And his last words are, well, get it on, motherfuckers! I don't think they allow him the chance to finish the word motherfucker, but get it on! And like, what I'm saying is, yes, the best days are gone, and you're like, I don't know. I guess I'm going to keep talking this shit until I snap out of it. Assuming I do snap out of it. This is just me being real with you, man. I'm sorry if it depresses you. If you have a lot of shit going on in your life and you're powering through, good for you. I applaud you. But for me, I'm on the side of the men just looking at the parade. Thinking about hike. Yeah, I know. You know what? It's making me sad on the inside. But it's like, It is what it is. That's where I'm at right now. Who knows? Maybe I'll crawl out of this shit and I'll be able to be one of those people preaching about, nah, man, you got a lot to live for. Anyway, all right, man. Yo, you know what? I should add that, speaking of which, like, finding reasons to give a fuck. Jail COVID, man, okay. Man, get off the man's dick. All right, so this dude's on fire. So I also found his half blackface comedy special, and holy shit, he's not just funny, but he speaks so well. The dude's clever. I finally get why him and Rod get along, or like I see the similarity, because what I'm getting at is JL sometimes he's not. How do I say this? He's a real guy. He's real. But sometimes he's got some unpopular opinion that surprises me, that I'm surprised you hang out with us. But it's just him. It's just, look, I don't adopt popular opinions so I can be popular. I just call it like it is. And I respect that. I want to be one of those people that call it like it is. And it's unpopular, then, oh, my bad. Yeah, it is what it is. Whatever. Okay, that's not the point. But all I know is the real takeaway is listening to his special and his comedies reminded me of the part of comedy that I used to enjoy, which is hanging out with other comics. I loved being part of that tribe, even though there was a lot of white people in there. But I mean, because this is Ottawa, but it's not just that. But I loved... Well, I don't know. Okay, I say I love being part of that tribe. I'm not sure it's because I hated the fact that my only tribe at the time was church and work. And it was a great alternative. But is that why I enjoyed it? Because I do remember, whatever, right? But oh my God. Hearing this special reminded me of my time as a comedian. And my favorite moments was having a great set and two, hanging out with comics. Granted, there were times where, fuck, hanging out with comics, like Joe Beat, I hated it. Because it's a lot of white people, a lot of white dudes bitching about how fucking the world's changed, man. It's fucking difficult to be a white man doing comedy. You know, I had to hear those rants. Those fucking annoying rants. And, hold on. The allergies are kicking in. Yeah, I don't miss that part of the comedy world. But I will say that his Comedy Central was somewhat inspiring, man. It was funny, but there was that combined with his Men in Crisis thought. It's like, it hit me, man. It hit me right where I needed to be hit. Who knows? Maybe this is a beginning of a great future. Who knows? Whatever. This might be the beginning of something here. But all I know is I enjoyed it. I'm even recommending it. If I'm talking about it, it's because I'm recommending. Actually, I'll add it to the show notes. The only thing is, I'm not sure if... Whatever. It's kind of fucked up that I can't buy it because I live in Canada. I can't buy it from Amazon. Racism. But this is bad. My point is, I consume some art and I feel better about it. There we go. That's it. Okay. All right. Last but not least, I'm going to play, I'm going to consider this a moment of positivity here. It's, I don't know, this content creator on TikTok, okay, I'll play his name. He's, he always says he's funny and he says some wise shit. Like this here. Hold on, it's loading. Like this here. Here we go.
When you're making up reasons to hate yourself, remember that you're wrong about most things. And in general, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. So it's really unlikely that you would be right about this. I mean, really consider, you see yourself in the mirror exactly how you are.
Right.
And you're like, ew, that person sucks. That's not an opinion that would be respected by experts. It's not peer reviewed. It's not scholarly. And it certainly wouldn't be taught in the classroom. So it's like, you're not really a trustworthy source. So just throw those opinions right out, baby. Oh, yeah.
Perfect timing, eh? Because this is, I'm thinking of how I just spoke about this belief that my best days are gone. Is that me being mean to myself? It's possible, but I'm just saying, it's possible, all right? It's possible. Here's hoping that word of positivity hits you where you needed to be hit. With that said, let's jump to news and random. Oh, not bad for time. Okay, let's jump to news and random thought. Excuse me, that was news and random thought. Let's jump to final thoughts. And, get the fuck out of here. When I say get the fuck out of here, as I'm going to get high. All right, here we go. All right, final thoughts is usually, I decided that it's usually something that's inspired from a therapy session. But in this particular situation, like I tend to go probably a bit more deeper into an idea. Or, you know, whatever. Okay, in this particular case, I'm responding to something that's in the news. And there's this new rapper. There's a rapper. When I say new rapper, a young rapper, outside of my demographic, outside of my, like, I'm not her target audience. I mean, she raps, female rapper, but, you know, it's like, whatever. It's my way of saying that I'm not a fan of her work. You know, that's not true. That's like if it came in the club, but it's not the kind of, that's not the point. The point is this rapper, her name is Sexy Red. And she sure is sexy. And Sexy Red went on some podcast and talked about how, yo, black people don't usually like Trump, but I'm saying we like Trump. We got to get him back in the office. And I don't know Sexy Red personally, but something about, based on what I've seen so far, Nothing about her says that I'm into politics. I'll go as far as to say that this is was the equivalent, her saying an unpopular opinion was the equivalent of rappers getting shot or getting arrested before an album release, right? That was the way you get yourself promoted. Now, I guess Sexy Red just wanted people to talk about her. I'm sure there are people, some of her fans who are like, yo, she got a good point. We got to get Trump into office. And the thought crossed my mind in that moment of rap, politics, and voodoo. The reason I didn't bring up rap and politics, okay, is more because I think about how when I grew up, rap was like, as Chuck D said, black folks CNN. Like, rap made me aware of what, oh my God, rap made me aware of what's going on. Rap made me aware of what was going on during the LA riots. It was the truth. Rap was inspiring back then. This is, okay, I'm gonna be careful. My attempt is not to be like, back in my days, and shit like that. Well, I mean, I guess it's gonna come off like that, but, you know, it's not the intention, but whatever. What do you call it? Casualty of a point. And what I'm getting at is, back then, us black kids benefited from rap. Granted, take away the misogyny, right? The misogyny was still there. Patriarchy was still a problem. But at least us black kids, I remember when KRS-One dropped You Must Learn. That shit blew my. I remember when Run DMC, that's what actually helped me figure out that, holy shit, this led to my black liberation. Run DMC had a track called Proud to Be Black. First time I heard that song, blew my mind because I was like, I didn't know we were allowed to be proud of being cursed. Back then, I didn't know shit about being black. I mean, that's wrong. I didn't know shit about being proud to be black. All I knew is I was surrounded by white people, grew up with white people. This, by the way, parents, if you're going to raise your kids around white people, if you're going to raise your black child around white people, make sure they expose them to their black side and whatever, right? So I grew up with white people as a Christian, and I had read the part of the Bible that said that being black is a curse, the mark of Cain, or the mark of Ham, one of those marks. And in the back of my mind, I was believing that being black was a curse. I was a minority. I'm surrounded by white people, and I'm the one of these things is not like the others. In the back of my mind, I was like, something is wrong with me because of this black skin. Then Run DMC shows up, Proud to Be Black. And blue, it was the first time that my parents, I guess, they didn't know they needed to have that talk with me. And that's when hip-hop became my older sibling, teaching me stuff about life that school, my parents, preacher, people at church, people in my community couldn't talk to me about. It was the beginning of my black consciousness, black awareness. Fast forward to today, and Sexy Red is talking this bullshit. And this is where voodoo comes in. It reminded me of the story I heard about how voodoo started out as the religion Haitians use that led to the revolution. This is Haitian Revolution. Yeah, man. The Haitian Revolution was brought to you by voodoo. Voodoo was like, okay, I don't know, like Haiti Revolution, okay, yeah. First start out with this one ceremony called Wakaima, and it was a big voodoo celebration, man. No one was talking about, hey, free, no one had some Jesus posters at this event. It was a voodoo celebration. Here, I'm trying to get the actual... Much of the Caribbean economic development background. Nope, that's what I'm looking for. Demographic. Nope. Social conflict. But my point is, voodoo was an instrumental part in our liberation, just like hip-hop was for me. Fast forward to today, now voodoo is even my parents refused to allow me to get anywhere close to that. Like, my parents are like, no, we're proud Christians. Get that voodoo shit. Like, I don't know how white people did it, but they managed to convince us to drop voodoo and adopt their bullshit religion that I would later be talking shit about on a podcast. It's so wild how hip-hop went from the keys to our liberation and salvation to now being, hey man, yeah man, Trump, we need to get Trump back in office. And here's the thing, I can understand that I was starting, because there was a time where, you know, I always took rap seriously, even though I didn't agree with it. So I was considering the possibility maybe some people in the hood, quote-unquote hood, see Trump as their savior. But the thing is, it's possible, but some of those people aren't that bright. They're just being used like they're... Yeah, some of those people, I'm not trying to be offensive, but aren't really that bright, aren't really that savvy. And they'll let, like, look, man, if you allow yourself to get played by fucking Trump, especially as a black person, I'm like, come on, man. I don't like blaming the victims, but what the fuck, man? How the fuck do you not see that coming? Yeah, I was really pissed off. Oh, my God, Ice Cube started out with Ice Cube during the last election was like on some, I'm all about sucking Donald Trump's dick and the rest of you should follow me to Ice Cube. Fucking death certificate, America's most wanted, fucking Ice Cube. Huge disappointment, man. That'd be like R.I.P. Bookman, but that'd be like Bookman now being a pastor talking about, yeah, man, get away from that voodoo shit. I have one of my dad's pastor. He's so anti-voodoo. He's also homophobic, transphobic, all that, all the fucking phobics. But yeah, and he hates voodoo. Like, he just like always got a sermon. One day he played a video of a voodoo ceremony, and it was meant to be mock. It's like, look at them bathing in pig blood. I don't know what they were doing, but I remember just walking out. I'm like, no fucking way am I having a follow-up conversation with that dude. But it'd be like Bookman being that guy, preaching about, yeah, voodoo's bad, all right? Fellow Haitians, stay the fuck away from voodoo, because it's the reason why we're in the hell pit that we're in. Now, pay your tithes. Now, I don't know how I went from that thought to, I guess I was having also a these are our heroes moment, because I was thinking of, then I found myself thinking of, do you guys hear this shit? Kevin Hart. I think I'm having a moment of, these celebrities don't love you. Have you guys heard this clip from, I know it's old by internet standards, but Kevin Hart tried to drop signs and try to explain why poor people are poor. And here's his explanation. Are you ready? Yes, Kevin Hart, the comedian. Here we go.
If you look in the hood, there's liquor stores and check cashing places. You know why? Because they know that the people in the hood aren't smart enough to open up bank accounts. They're going to get a check, they're going to cash it, and it's a liquor store right next to it. Let's just put that around them. Let's also put a bunch of shit that's easy and cash available. We don't want you to gain credit. We want you to be cash driven. That's how we keep the poor poor. It's not until you understand that you get out.
And motherfuckers are clapping, right? Then it had me thinking of this shit right here.
I have the best advice for women in business. Get your fucking ass up and work. It seems like nobody wants to work these days. You have to surround yourself with people that want to work. Have a good work environment where everyone loves what they do, because you have one life. No talk.
Okay. Oh, sorry. All right, okay. All right, so Sexy Red, Kevin Hart, Kim Kardashian. I want to say shut the fuck up. Hold on a second. You know what? I want to say...
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
There we go. I honestly did not know where I was going to go with this shit, but I think this is just... it just gave me an opportunity to be able to play that clip. Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch! And that's dedicated to Sexy Red, Kim Kardashian, and Kevin Hart. Here, look. I'm not trying, because I'm like, do you, I'm a big believer in do you, but I'm just saying, it's like, Don't fucking lie to me, man. Like Sexy Red, I just wish you was honest. Look, man, I'm just trying to promote an album here. Kevin Hart, look, man, I just want to convince these people that I'm not just a comedian, that I'm also a smart guy who can explain economics. And Kim Kardashian, I don't know where she was going with that, but all I know is it angered me that no one wants to work anymore. It seems like no one wants to, which apparently is a popular saying for rich people. It's like the reason why I'm where I'm at and they're where they are is because they're lazy. Or because they're not blessed by Jesus. They're not blessed by our Lord Father. I don't know, man. Yo, boys and girls, celebrities don't love you, man. They do not love you. What up with you, Be Black? Yeah, no, I'm dealing with my own fucking problems. I'm not here to preach to you on what you should do. But I am telling those three to...
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Yeah, shut them up, man. It's like, yeah, man, I try to hear that shit. You know what? Okay, I'm not going to overcomplicate things. Because I remember when I started when I wrote down rap politics and voodoo, I had no idea where I was going to go with this. And you know what? I think I made my point. I'm not going to try to overcomplicate it. This is it. No, okay. I forgot to say what's up with today's title. Oh, well, I already explained the title, but the verse that I read earlier was by X-Clan, Brother J. The one that goes, I was sitting by the river with my warrior's gun. A bunch of cowboy try to house my drum. I never bust a sweat because it's never all that tragic. Voodoo, running from my magic. Yeah, I only share that verse because his reference to the word voodoo and how it used to be. Oh, because I remember the first time I heard that verse, and it was the first time I hear someone talking about voodoo in an empowering way. Because up until that point, I was surrounded by parents, Christian parents, who were saying, yo, stay the fuck away from voodoo. Voodoo's bad, voodoo's bad, voodoo's bad, voodoo's bad. Like, I grew up with the idea that voodoo was bad. And then I read up on it, I'm like, wait a minute, the same voodoo that led to the Haitian Revolution? Wait, what the fuck? I've been lied to. How the fuck did we let these white folks play us like that? And whatever, man. Anyway, all right, okay. I'm going to stop there. Yes, it's a shorter than usual episode. And no, it's not because I'm looking forward to getting high that I'm wrapping this up. Okay, it might have something to do with it. But it's also that I don't want to beat off a dead horse, you know what I mean? I made my point. I can't explore it more past that point or else I'd be just talking shit. So I'll end there. I will end there, okay? End there. My apologies to those of you who were hoping that I would have some unique take on the Palestine-Israeli conflict. Maybe I'll talk about it on the next episode. I only bring this up because it's like it's all over my timelines, all my social media timeline. Everyone's talking about it. I'm like, maybe I should say something. And I'm like, what? What the fuck can I say that smarter people haven't said already? But all right. Okay. All right, boys and girls, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. You can holler at me on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Suck my dick, Elon Musk. You can find me on Twitter at BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. I'm also on TikTok at B.Black. You know what? I'm on Instagram. Shut Up Podcast. Just Shut Up Podcast. Thread. Who the fuck's on Thread? I tell you to go on Thread, but no one's on there. I don't post much on Thread. All right, but if you really want to get in touch with me or know more about this podcast, go to run to shutuppodcast.com. I repeat, shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. But there's also a beautiful contact us section where you could, you know, send me your messages. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Oh, wow. All right, I'm going to end this right. Okay, I'm working on a good sequence for this end. All right, boys and girls, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Okay? Be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.